Blog Talk Radio.
Woman, my precious and diamonds, gold, precious emotions, you need care, sunshine, rain, or thunder.
Rain,
the view, thunder, is electric. With the race of a cat.
Yo.
Me, the woman, no matter what race, creed, or color, is all of that. She's the vessel that carries the baby for 9 months. Woman, created to be the companion of man. To help him when he's weak, to rub his back and chest while he's sleeping. Say words of encouragement when he feels he can go in front. Don't worry. A gift from God. She comes in the form of sister, daughter, wife, and mother.
Oh, and don't forget about the niece.
Even greater love. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Let's Talk About It All. I'm your man, Shade, and today we're going to have a special guest on the show, Miss Nicole. More or less, she's going to be, you know, a guest slash co-host tonight. Hopefully she's on, and, you know, we can begin. But by the way, you here, Nicole?
I'm here. Thank you, and I just want to thank you very much for having me on tonight, Shadi.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. It's my pleasure to have you on. You know, I listen to you on your mom's show and on your uncle's show, and, you know, you live up to the title that he has. You be keeping it real. So, of course, you know, I want someone on the show that's going to keep it real. And, you know, more or less on my show, we, you know, it's far and few in between for us to have, you know, dialogue with, you know, with women on the show. Most times it's just men. There are a few times that women do chime in, but I definitely want to get, you know, more into dialoguing with men and women. Based on the show last night, it proves that we as men and women differ when it comes to our perspective. You know, on how a man see a woman, and I'm pretty sure that it differs how women see men, you know? So with that being said, I wanted to start off with how did you come up with the name Ladies of Juicy? What does that mean? What is that, you know, what is that about? How did that come about?
Sure. Okay. Well, first, for those, as you said, that listening to your show and maybe haven't heard me on the Lisa Experience or the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean on Fridays, my name is Nicole, and I've known Shadi probably all my life. I am excited that you invited me on to the show today. It does give women a chance to speak their side because sometimes men kind of, you know, have an idea of women that because you're within a group of men all the time, you don't always see eye to eye on how we feel or on how we think. So you just kind of think what men think is right. So the Ladies of Juicy started back in the 90s. It was formed with actually three friends, me, my sister, and a friend of mine. We all used to party real heavy. That's where it started from. And we were all kind of voluptuous. And so, you know, a lot of people would be, oh, you guys are really juicy. And so it kind of stuck. And so when we would go out, people would be like, oh, it's that juicy crew, the juicy crew. And so everywhere we would go, you know, people would kind of shout us out. And so as we grew older, we no longer wanted to be called the juicy crew because, you know, now you're in your 40s. Nobody wants to be called the crew anymore. And we then changed it to, right, the ladies of juicy. And like I said, we didn't just party. We did host. We had events. We had a hat and heel event maybe like, you know, a couple of years back. We did host a couple of parties. We had some Facebook Lives where we sat down and had like a council with all of us. At that time, it was probably about 12 of us. We sat down and answered questions. Just like you guys doing your podcast, questions that women had, relationship, sex, family, kids, whatever. We kind of all are open to, you know, our lives and talking about our lives and answering questions if we know the answer to them. And so we try to maintain our sisterhood. I don't know if, you know, maybe a week or two back, if you were listening in, I had a few of my friends on. We try to maintain that sisterhood no matter what. And as women, it's a little difficult. You know, we're a little catty. We're a little catty, and we sometimes we get a little sensitive, you know, with each other. When things are said, our feelings get hurt a little easier than men sometimes. But we always try to let each other know that anything that we say to each other is in love. We say it out of love. I would never say anything to my sister, not just my sister, but my friends, or even just women that I meet. I would never say anything to them that I wouldn't say to my daughter. I have a 26-year-old. So when I talk and people are like, oh, you're so real and what you say, I talk to my daughter the same way because my mother talked to me that way. So I don't know any other way to talk to her to get my point across. So that is why I, you know, can communicate with people so well about a lot of different topics. But, yeah, that's kind of the story of Ladies of Juicy. We did go to a tea a couple of weeks back, and we got a certificate from the city of Patterson for, you know, sisterhood. And I was really happy about that, you know, but as time goes on, as everybody knows, you know, people outgrow each other. Some of us don't party anymore. Some of us have gotten to relationships or had kids or got men in relationships where they, you know, don't really hang out. And that's fine. And that's kind of what women have to understand, that it's okay to outgrow each other. Doesn't mean that you're beefing or, you know, you don't love each other because you still have love. If you truly love someone, you're going to have love for them even when you're not in a good place with them.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, you know, we had that similar, you know, brotherhood with the guys that I grew up with, your uncle included. You know, we've known some of the guys that we still be around 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30-plus years. And I'm sure, you know, whenever we get together, no matter how long it's been, it's like that, you know, like we never left each other.
Right.
Know?
Yep.
So
absolutely.
I think that is important because nowadays the younger ones don't seem to be able to have a connection, it seems to me. It seems like they like to say ops, you know, now that's my opposition. And I think that's hurting us more so than helping us. But I think it's due to some of the way that, you know, some of the stuff that we changed growing
mm-hmm.
up, you know, where I heard your mom speak one time, and she said that she would take your friends, your brother friends, take y'all out, take y'all different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that helps, you know, keep that connection. I think somewhere we kind of lost that, where our children can end up beefing with each other because
mm-hmm.
they don't know how far the history go back that we are connected through, you know, friendships and years of friendships. I think that's something, you know, that we, you know, we could actually do better.
Right. Well, I also say that because I talk to my daughter a lot, and you're right. I was saying last night on my uncle's show that their whole moral status is different from ours. And I always say to my daughter, I'm like, I feel so bad that they're growing up in a time like this, because we had our issues. I mean, you know, you had your issues growing up. It was things going on, fighting. You know, they fought.
Right.
My era, it was fighting. You know, then it was we had a little bit of stabbing, little bit of shooting towards the end. But, like, the era
right.
that they're growing up in, it's chaotic. It's a chaotic time. And everyone has become so desensitized to everything. Like, everything is, you have to be okay with it. You know, where when we grew up, things were, we were told they weren't okay. You know what I mean? And I think those guidelines are what kept us intact somewhat. I mean, we used to be mad, like, oh, we had to be in the house when the streetlights came on. But that protected us. You know what I mean? In a way.
Right.
Now, like, for you guys, I don't know what the guideline was for you, but I'm quite sure it was something.
It was the same thing.
Right.
It was the same
right.
thing.
But
when
I came along, it was a little more lenient. You know what I mean? But it was still strict, because I can remember sitting on a porch with boys at like 13, 14, and my grandmother coming outside and saying, okay, it's 8 o'clock. The boys need to go. And I'd be like, all right. But basically, if they're going to leave, you know, see, okay, I'm going to come back out. They better be gone. And another 10 minutes, she come out. The boys still out here. I told you they needed to leave. Okay, but that second time when she came, she came with a hanger. She was ready for war. Like, I already told you that they needed to leave. It was 8 o'clock. See, but you see how things are? Like, it was, we knew that second time, we knew that she wasn't coming to play. Now you have to tell your kids 3, 4, 5 times, go clean your room. Did you clean your room? I need you to clean your room. Oh, I'm going to take your phone. Oh, then now you want to clean your room. But, I mean, what, those guidelines just somewhere got lost in the sauce. It's gone now. Like, and so, like you said about the ops, I think we didn't teach our kids about friendship, about relationship, about, we were so busy trying to give them everything that we didn't get. Like, oh, they got to have the newest sneaker, the newest jeans, the newest, the best schools. But what about being able to communicate, being able to deal
Absolutely.
With other people, being able to go on a
right.
job interview and talk to people? Like, somehow we lost that, you know, along
right.
the line. And so, like you said, that is why the kids are on a whole different level. You can't even talk to kids or joke with kids anymore, because they take things so to heart, so serious. You know what I mean? You have to say to them, like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just joking. Where it used to be a
right.
time people were respectful of parents or respectful of adults. There is no more respect. They don't care, you know. So the things have definitely changed.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you. And those guidelines that you speaking on was structure. We had structure.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up with structure. Structure
mm-hmm.
and discipline. Those
yep.
two things are missing now. Children don't have enough structure and enough discipline. And if you don't
mm-hmm.
have discipline, you're subject to do anything. don't have structure. I'm subject to doing anything.
Yep.
So that's pretty much where we at with today's society. And, you know, somehow we have to find a way to kind of, you know, reel them back in, because just letting them, you know, just fall to the wayside is really not an option, because they are our children, and we have to figure out a way to reel them back in. I mean, you know, some of them is too far gone, but we still have some that are still borderline. And the borderline ones, those are ones we have to find out what we can do to reach them.
Right.
And for me, this is basically what the podcast is about. This podcast particularly is about coming up with solutions and ways of how can we change our conditions without asking for any outside help. That's the key for me. Without outside help, because if we rely on other people to fix our conditions are not going to get any better. That's how I see it. You know, that's how I see it. And not to say that we're not open for help for those who are willing to give it, but we first have to, you know, like they say, you know, before you clean your own backyard up before you start, you know, looking at somebody else's backyard. So that type
Absolutely. I agree. And that's so true. Like you said, a lot of times people say, well, we have no recreation for the kids. We have nothing for the kids to do. If you notice, not trying to be funny, the kids don't want to do any of that. You can put a recreation center up, but how many of them really going to go? I mean, the little ones, and the ones that are going to go are the parents that don't want to be bothered with their kids, so they send them there just to pass the time as a babysitter. Like, somehow electronics has become the babysitter. That's all kids
Absolutely.
Want to do. They want to play the game. They want to, at 2 years old, parents are sticking a laptop in their kid's hand, and then you want to know why they're so confused. But you got them at 2 years old singing the ABCs and learning this from somebody that's dropping it like it's hot. And don't, now mind you, it's not wrong with dropping it like it's hot. But you know what I mean? You're starting them when their brain is fresh and you're already putting all this into it, because just, you know, sticking that in their hand for the time being is not really, once again, giving them the communication and the interaction that they need. Now when they go to school, they, once again, don't know how to interact with other kids. You know, don't know how to interact with adults, don't know how to respect adults, don't know how to sit down for a matter of 8 hours, because to being able to walk around, get up, have their tablet in the house, parents don't make their kids sit down, read a book, don't come out your room for, you know, my mother used to say, go in the room, are you bored? Go read a book. Are you bored? Go wash the dishes, clean up. So I knew, never say I was bored. Because if I said I was bored, she was going to find something for me. You know what I mean? But now they say they bored. Well, what do you want to do? You want somebody to come over? You want company? You want to go by? No, that's not what you do. Bored means you have to. I have one child. When she was bored, I made her go in there, and she had to learn how to be with herself, because the world is about getting to know yourself, learning yourself, and then inviting other people into your world. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like you said, we can ask the community to build a rec center, but it starts from home. If they're not getting it in their house, when they go to the rec center, they're going to tear it up. Because what they do, they tear it up at home, you know? So, I mean, like you said, I think it has to be not for nothing. I'm not going to say it's a lost cause for a certain age group, like you said, but I think you have to get them when they're babies, because their mind is still fresh and still open, and they haven't begun to get the negativities of the world just yet. If you want to really change our community. Somebody said to me the other day, they were like, oh, you know, why are you guys always so mad when the cops shoot you 7 times or 11 times? You rally and you get angry. But yet, Ray Ray down the street shoots you 7 times, you mad for a day. And it's true. Like, we rally for a week, and then you don't hear anything else about it. and let, you know, that family go on and they deal with it the way they deal with it. But our community is used to just being rah-rah for a moment, and then we go back into our space. But we got to get out of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, we have to come up with an agenda that at least the majority of us agree upon. Even if we can't get everyone, if we could get the majority to agree upon it. And actually, you know, one of the things is basically getting the men and the women on a similar page.
Same page, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, because if you can do that, then you get the opportunity to give your child balance. And that's where I think, you know, we're like falling to the wayside, because there's not enough balance in the child's life. Like you said, you're giving the child without the child earning anything.
Right.
So if the child don't earn anything, now they don't appreciate what you give them.
And they expect things to just be given to them throughout life. Then they come into a job and they expect that the job is just supposed to be given to them, you know. And I mean, some things I agree with, like my daughter, she's a type, she's 26. She'll go to a job, you know, it was a time when the boss would say something to you and we would eat it. We would be angry and we would go home and we would, you know, be pissed about it. But this era, they'll tell you, you're not going to talk to me that way. I don't need this job. I'll find another job. You know, we used to be like, oh, yes, sir. You know, I can't find another job. I need this job. Let alone there's 1,000 other jobs out there. But our parents made us believe, like, you better, that's a good job. You better keep that good job. No, it's a lot of good jobs. It's not just that one good job. So there are some things that their generation has evolved in. But, you know, once again, it's because, like you said, they don't have that structure. So they don't have nothing to say to them like, oh, I need to stay here. Oh, I got bills to pay, so I need this job. No, they try to figure it out as they go along.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, because the thing is, and what I've noticed, that a lot of younger people, you mentioned jobs. So when they get a job, they quit to leave it because they're saying, oh, well, while I'm in search of a job, I can count on my parents. I can tell my mom or my pops or whatever, where, you know, our parents didn't, you know, look, you get that job, you quit that job, you got to figure out what you're going to do until you get another job. You
absolutely.
So it ain't like you got to be getting, you know, looked out for. So you had to deal with some of the unnecessary or bad treatment. You know, because or disrespectful treatment, as you were saying, you know, we dealt with that. So yeah, so that part is good, that they do stand up for themselves. That part is good, because really, no generation is all bad.
Right.
You know, the older generation always see the younger generation as kind of messed up.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so we know that's a given. Because I remember, you know, hearing adults talk about, you know, us when we were coming up. That music, they got that hippity hop music. I don't understand it. I don't know what they're talking about. And now you got music now that, you know, rap music that you don't really care for either. So some of the things is just generational. I just think that, you know, right now you mentioned the tablets. There's so much information out here now where we have to be careful with what the children are being introduced to at an early age. Like you said, 2-3 years old, they're being introduced to some things that they shouldn't be, you know, introduced to at 2-3 years old.
Right. And we have to stop saying, We have to stop thinking that it's so cute, you know, just because she watching it, you watching it. Oh, you see her? Look how she dancing. Oh, look at her. She's so cute. And it's so cute when they 2, and then when they 5, now you're saying, oh, she being grown. Oh, she's being fresh. But you accepted it at 2, and then now you telling her, no, you being fresh. Like, so you're being a hypocrite, right? So now it's like you already at 5 telling me that I'm fresh for something that I've been doing for 3 years of my life. And then that goes on. Now I'm 8, and now I'm doing something else that when at 5 you thought was okay. Now I'm at 8. Now I'm sitting in a chair with my legs open, and now you 8. And, you know, now cross your legs. You're a little girl. You can't be having your legs open like that. But at 5, it was okay. See, but that's what I mean. Like, as you're getting older, you're supposed to talk to your kid, not just introduce, just throw things at them. Oh, you know, oh, now 13. Oh, it's boys. Oh, you know, you get your period, you could get pregnant. You know, what do you mean? Like, okay, like how about the conversation before that? Like, there's a conversation that needs to be had before you get your menstrual cycle, before you get into, like, kids are, you know, I like boys. I was in, I had my first crush in 3rd grade. So you can't, like, you get your menstrual sometime 11, 12. So I was already, 8 years old and crushing. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you, as you said, the generations are different. So you have to talk to your kids. You can't let them learn things from the outside. It has to be learned in the inside. And like you said about balance, I tell people all the time, that is why I kept my daughter fatherhood in my life, because I had no balance when it came to a father figure. That, I mean, I had father figures in my life, but I never had what I felt should have been a father. You know, you have people that you look up to, but everybody is not perfect. So when you see them doing wrong, you accept that and you think that's okay. You know, so you don't have that father to say, no, that's not right. No, because your father is the one that sets the rules. You know, your mother is the one, she teaches you how to be a woman, but the father is the one that teaches you the rules on how to grow up, how life is. So you miss a very important part when you don't have a father in your life. So you need both. You need that balance, the mother and the father, you know. And that, I don't understand the whole everybody letting you have kid after kid after the kid and no father around. So who are raising these kids? Grandparents. And like you said, grandparents have a different lifestyle, social life than 20-something-year-olds.
Absolutely.
And then you got a 3-year-old living with a 50, 60-year-old. What you think they teaching them?
Right. And it's room for the grandparents. However, the grandparents shouldn't be held accountable or responsible for raising the children.
Children.
And as you said, you know, as you said, that there's too many women having babies without having the men be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, and that's something, you know, I commend you for, you know, being able to do that, for you and, you know, your Marlon to be able to work together with your daughter, regardless of whomever in your life. That's a commitment that parents, I think, is healthy for parents to make.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're with anybody that, look, this is my son or my daughter's father, we're going to interact, and the only way we're not going to interact unless you're going to take the responsibility and you're going to interact with
it. Absolutely.
You know,
because
there's a thing that, like, individuals, you know, both men and women have a tendency to frown upon you dealing with your child parent, but they don't want to take responsibility and deal with the parent and leave you out of it.
Right.
So,
right.
That's the only way that it can be done, because after all, It's about the well-being of the child or the children.
Of the child, exactly. And I mean, I get it. Sometimes you have kids by men or women, because it's not just, I'm not going to say just men, because there's some women that you just cannot, you can't form some type of communication with. But once again, when you get ready to have a baby by somebody, it's not just by that person. You should know their family, at least their mother or their father, so that you have some means of communication when you're not able to talk to the mother or the father. So now you can at least go to their parents and say, listen, I've tried with him. It's not working out. So now I'm coming to you so that we can form some kind of means to work this out, because I did not have this baby by myself. You know what I mean? So, like, we need to, it shouldn't, like you said, we shouldn't have to bring in the court to figure it out for us. We should be able to figure it out ourselves. You know, not just, oh, that's my son, and he said that's not his kid, so it's not his kid. I don't know. You don't know who he was sleeping with. You know, you don't know who she was sleeping with. You know what I mean? Like, that era is over with.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that, and I think the key thing that you said is getting to know other parts, the extended family, the parents, the sisters, the brothers, and they're not doing that now. A lot of times they're not doing that. They by the time you get to know them, they're already pregnant. You know, by the time you meet them, they come into the door pregnant. So it's like, you know, you don't know anything about their character or nothing.
Yep.
Now they pregnant and you meet them. And that's the reason a lot of times now the son or whoever, the daughter, gets to say negative things.
Right. And you're only going according to what they say, because you have, like you said, you never met them. So now you're only going by what your child said, because you never met that person, instead of saying, you know what, let me sit down and hear her side of the story before I just take what you say to be true. You know what I mean? Because that's, I'm going to tell my mother what I need to tell her, because that's my mother. So, you know, 10 years down the line, she might find out that it was all a lie. But at that time, I'm going to tell her what I want her to know, because I want her to be on my side. You know, and then now this child, 10 years without getting to know their other side of the family. And then now they grow up on the street doing whatever, and you wondering what happened, what went wrong. Well, that's what's wrong.
Absolutely. All right, Nicole, so we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and see if anybody else want to chime in. And, you know, if not, then I have a few questions that I want to ask you, you know, as far as men and women. Okay? So we're going to take a break.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
What can we do about the death of our youth? The drug sling, gang banging, sirens ringing. Is it the cops or the inmates? Did someone die or is someone going to jail? This seems to be the fate of where we live. This place we call hood, urban section, and ghetto. Why do we use these names?
I don't know.
Just because our lives are worth less than anyone else's? Or is it because we have drug dealers and liquor stores in every other corner? What can we do to change our condition? And the way other people see us, as well as the way we see ourselves, also the way we treat each other. Are we afraid of change? Do we see ourselves as animals that need to be controlled by police and others outside of our community?
Do we?
What can we do about the drug use, teen pregnancy, murder, and high school dropout rate that's leading to jail cells being filled with our young men and women? Who do we blame? Is it the government, the parents, the churches, or the moms? Now let's look at ourselves. Have we done all we could? Do we speak up for what's right? Do we vote for the candidate that supports our best interests? Do we choose a mate based on our similarities and outlooks on life? Do we talk to our children?
about our trials and struggles? Do we hug them to tell them we love them every day? Do we attend a place of worship to learn how to serve and please God? If you do these seven things, then you already know what to do. If you do any less than the seven things that were mentioned and what we can do, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to start with who? I'm going to start with you and me. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to Let's Talk About It All. We have my guest slash co-host, Nicole, on. And by the way, I want to let you guys know that the two tracks that you were listening to, those were done by me. If you don't already know, you know, some of you may be familiar with my voice, but for those who are not, those tracks were done by me.
Sounds good, Shadi.
Yes, thank you very much, Nicole. Thank you. You know, because what can we do actually is, you know, was inspired by, you know, us, by just Patterson. You know, what can we do? How can we fix what's wrong with us? This was prior to even doing the show that I did that track. You know, it's going to take us. But I want to ask you a question. Okay, we got somebody on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. Calling you live.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Brother Didis Miles. How you doing?
Alaikum salam, brother Miles. How are you?
I'm great. Look, when that little rap that you did it go platinum, I want a copy.
Okay, you can get a copy prior to that, man. You can get a copy prior to that, brother.
Listen, I was listening to what the sister saying, you know, she brought up a lot of things because I remember growing up like that too, boy. You know, in the house before the lights come on. When your mother says something, you do it. Like your neighbors, they catch you doing something bad, you get an ass whooping, and you get home, you get another one. When you get into a fight, you know, you might be mad that day, but the next day you shake the brother's hand, say, good one. You're right. Kids are getting out of control, man. It's like the parents scared of the kids now. And it's hard to figure out why. You know, what the hell happened? Then all of a sudden diapers come along, you hit your kid, they want to lock you up. And kids know that. We had some kids around here a couple of years ago, 9-year-old kid. With four other kids live around the corner, the cops pulled them over. Checked the 9-year-old kid. He had a 32 caliber in his pocket. At nine. It's just, you know, it's like, how do we get through to these kids again? These video games, they said that they could be good for you or bad for you. And like she said earlier, what they do now when your kid comes and say, "Mom, can I talk to you? Boy, leave me alone. Go play somewhere. Take this game." I remember when every time dinner time, everybody sat at the kitchen table. Now they take their food, run in the room, run outside. It's like no more communication going on. When we was kids, well, my mother used to sit in front of the TV and we watched something like Martin Luther King, about Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, something like that. She asked us what we got out of that, what we thought about what we heard. We have a Q&A thing going. It was like teaching us. Our uncles, we used to ask them for money. He said, earn your own. I remember one day he gave us some old these wooden boxes. Back in the day, how you go down to the fruit stand, they had them fruits in them boxes, them
crates,
little wooden boxes.
He
gave me a whole bunch of them, told me if I make a shoe shine box, he'll put the equipment in it. I ended up shoe shining for years. I end up, after a year of shoe shining, I had got three other guys to work for me. And I learned how to make a buck.
So we had a kid in our class
when I was going to school 28, a little Spanish kid. Everybody used to pick at him, called him all kinds of names because he had unholy genes and stuff. A little Spanish. Then we found out that his family, there used to be like 10 in the apartment. Every time they got to work, they took their paycheck and put it in the bowl in the kitchen. Mom and dad added all up. About 2 years later, they end up owning the supermarket. I said, see, that's how you get families together, put stuff together, and now they got their own business.
And
well, basically, go ahead.
No, I was just hi, Mal. How are you?
What's up, lady?
Thank you for calling.
You was wild last night, boo.
I said this is a grown folk show. So I had to.
Are you right?
I have to curve my tongue when I talk to Shabby. But I know how your place. So you got to know how to act when you're in the streets and when you're in the house. So I'm in the house right now. But get back onto what you said. It's true. I remember my mother. We never really ate together because I think, you know, that had already kind of stopped. My mother was not a cooker, and she's probably listening. She was never like one that like made dinner. She would make chicken and then, you know, that would be dinner. But she would ask us how our day was, or, you know, what happened in school today, or
right.
You know, she would listen. Like, not just ask, just for us to be, like, she would listen and then say, oh, so this happened, blah, blah, blah. She would, you know, recite back to let you know that she was listening to you. Not just that she heard what you said, but she was actually listening to everything
told
her. You know, and that was something else I wanted to mention. Because a lot of times our kids are like, ma, and then you're like, what? You know, what? And then they say stuff, and you're like, okay. But you really aren't really listening to them. You're selectively listening to certain things that they're saying, but not really giving them the attention that they need because you feel like, oh, they talk too much. Oh, they're getting on my nerves. Oh, I want you to just go sit down. But you're right. Like, even me and my husband, I cook or he cooks. I'll go in the room and eat. He'll go in the room. We don't eat dinner together, you know, like, and say, and he hate if I ask him how was your day. He get frustrated, like, why would you ask me that? I work. But I'm used to that. You know, like, that's how I was raised. My mother raised me to say, good morning. How was work? Was everything okay? Did you have a good day? You know, I'm not used to somebody not being able to say, oh, it was all right. It wasn't a good day, you know. Like, I'm very vocal. I'm a communicator. I'm a person that talks. So to not be able to talk is frustrating to me. So I understand being a kid and not being able to talk or not being able to talk to your parents or talk to anybody. So, like, when you said that about sitting down at dinner, that struck, like, that reminded me of, wow, I remember my mother doing that. Like, wow, it took me back. So that's all I want to say.
You see how the system just screwed us over? Because you think about this. A lot of women grow up, you know, a lot of women, like, single parents, right? Kids go to school. Women's got to get two or three jobs to pay bills and all that. They don't have time for the PTA meetings because they can't get there in time. Mm-hmm. And then when they come home, they're too tired to cook you dinner. Because we never hardly got into, like, McDonald's and Burger King or that, because we always, our parents was always at the table cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all that fast food stuff, we wasn't about that. And now that's all seeing, like, that's all they feeding their kids is fast food and fast that.
So basically, pretty much what has happened, you have to realize is, the things that we were talking about that were mentioned was actually a part of our culture.
Right.
Right.
We relinquished our culture and allow mainstream media to start dictating what our culture was.
Exactly.
What is.
Mm-hmm.
So right now they tell us, whatever hip-hop is doing, that's our culture.
Which misguided
our children because they're looking at, this is our culture. The lewdness, the drugs, the actual sexual activities, all of these things that the hip hop is promoting, rather than, you know, us making it clear to our children, saying, look, this is our culture being distorted by someone else. The same as when we were growing up, being taught in school, our story was being told by someone else, where we say his story is his story. Yep. It's not our story. It's his story.
Right.
So what we have to do is begin first putting those things back in place that was a part of our culture. We have to start doing that. Us as grandparents, us as parents, we have to start instilling those. And as Nicole said, into the little ones, any and every chance you get, as well as to the parents. We gotta find workshops, because in other communities they have workshops. They have workshops teaching each other what to do, because some parents just don't know, because they were raised different.
Right.
You know, so if you were raised different, just like you just said, Nicole, just the fact that your mom normally asks you how was your day and your husband and mom didn't.
Right.
Those type of things, you know, happen because you're raised different. So, you know, so now it's all about, okay, look, let's start having these workshops so we can work on being better parents, because that's basically what we need. We need parent workshops. It's cut and dry.
Yeah.
That's what we need, workshops, because people don't know how to parent.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, is like when people ride through Patterson, they see all these people on the corner with their pants hanging down, their hat twisted, girls dressing like that, all hoochie-coochie, like, and that's the image they see of Patterson. That's all they think Patterson's about.
Hey, wait, Mal.
Go ahead.
That is my era, because once again, like Shadi said, you know, every generation goes, like, says something bad.
True.
Like, my era is the era of the saggy jeans and the hoochie. Because I'm 47, and I still dress like a hoochie. Like,
yeah, but what I'm saying, you know? What I'm saying about that is that the image that people, when they see that, they give us a bad, they think it is a, they look at us as a bad kids anger issue thing.
Well, they look at
never
it,
notice when you walk across the street, people sit in their car, you can hear them locking their car doors.
Well, that is, it's not because of that. It's because of what the media portrays about us. It's not so
much because when you come through a town, you ride through a town and you see that and you hear it on the news, because on the news, all you hear is our neighbors, how bad our neighbors are. You never hear nothing positive.
Exactly.
They don't put positive on our neighborhood.
Let me tell you something, Miles. Far as, you know, people that don't look like us locking their doors.
Right.
During the time when I was coming up, we were some of the flyest jokers you ever seen. So
it
it really didn't have anything to do with how you was dressed. It's just the image and how we've been portrayed in our country. First of all, that's it cut and dry. So now, of course, we can work on the image. We can work on the dress.
Right.
But the most important things we have to work on is the character and the mentality.
Exactly. It's the mentality.
Those are the things that we have to work on, and those are the things that need to be addressed. You know,
I remember back in the days in Patterson, man, you go to the club, brothers be fly, sisters be fly.
Right. Right.
Everybody got on their patent leathers. They got on their gaiters, Pierre and Cardin shoes. They tilt to the max. Always keep your shoes shined.
That's your era. My era, we had the Plaids, the British Walkers, the Playboys, the Visas, the sheepskins, the you know, the Kangols, that kind of stuff.
You remember the khakis with the pro kids?
Yeah.
Khaki pro kids out.
You were my older brother.
But that goes back to what I said. That goes back to what I was saying, though, like with Miles. Like, my ever was, who we had to look up to was Little Kim, Foxy Brown.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So when you say Hoochie Mama, like, that was who I looked up to. Like, I want to be like them when I grow up. I want to have jewelry like them. I want to dress like them. I want to have I want to have drug dealers like them. Unfortunately, not that that was to be glorified, but that was what was shown to me. That was what I thought was the right way to go. So guess what? Every man that I was with was a drug dealer. Every man that I was with hustled. You know, every man that I was with had wore them jeans hanging down or had big dookie chains, a whole lot of jewelry, drove nice cars. Like, I was one of those girls, you know. And so my husband, he's the complete opposite. He could care less. He goes to the thrift store, and it pisses me off. You know, what I'm accustomed to.
One thing you said earlier about growing up, kids growing up, Sade, I ended up in a crazy situation one day. My father, he was a truck driver for Kessler's Plumber Company. I don't know if you remember that down on River Street. He used to drive over. My father had kids. My mother had 14 kids, 7 boys, 7 girls, 10 by our father, right? I ended up, when my father passed away, it turned out, I found out I was dating my half-sister. She lived in New York, and we met, but I never knew we was like, you know, we had the same father until his funeral.
Right.
You know how screwed up that screwed my head up real fucked up, man. Like,
right.
And what I think, I think about some of these women who had these kids by this one guy, like, and they all sent it to her. That ain't his father. That ain't his baby.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
You depriving these kids of knowing who their brothers and sisters are.
Right.
Just because you mad at
But that's not just me depriving you of knowing who your father is. That's also your father depriving your kid of not knowing who he is. Acting like that doesn't mean that you don't have to be in his life. Because guess what? No matter how crazy and stupid I act, you can still go around me and figure a way to be with your child. If you really want to be.
Yeah, and now you're absolutely right. If anybody else want to chime in, press 1. Your comments are welcome. And you made it.
I'm glad we ain't had no kids, though.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I mean a girl, my half-sister.
So
I would have been a father, uncle, cousin, nephew, or something.
So what you said? Hold up, Miles. What did you say? You had sex with your half sister, brother? That's what you said.
Yeah, we was into it, but we didn't know we had the same father, though.
That's what they do down in the country. So you ain't do nothing that nobody else ain't done.
You did go dig.
I mean,
that hurt my feelings, though, because I was really into, we was into each other, though, but.
You know.
But it did kind of change your image towards your father, too, then.
Man, I was at the front, I was sitting there, you know, everybody, I was cussing him out sitting there. Son of a gun, you rotten. I was, damn. I was cussing him out to the max, man. You know how you cuss, you know, nobody hear you?
Right. In your mind, under your breath.
Yeah, she was mad at him too, because we was sitting right across from one another.
Y'all was in a full blown relationship. Obviously, he was in her life too for her to come to the funeral.
Yeah.
Right? So he, you know, remember there was just stick a dime in the phone or a home phone, so you couldn't get caught like you get caught now. So you couldn't be sleep laying there asleep. Somebody take a picture and you know and send it to somewhere else and paste post it online.
But should I do that?
Yeah.
It hurt, but they still found out,
Shadi. What was that? Barbara still found out, and she still called. What was her name on the phone? When she called on the phone and said, "This is Barbara."
Oh, about my man. They're finding out sooner or later. Yeah, they found out. You know, a lot of times. But Nicole, you kind of what you kind of did, you kind of confirmed my point when I was saying that our children are being basically seduced and raised and manipulated by hip hop.
Right.
You know, hip hop because it was something that was created by us for us. However, it got taken over, like many things that we create by other people,
and they
created the image of what they wanted it to be. Now, if you go back, like in the 1920s and 40s and 50s, you see the blackface, you see them showing pictures of them eating long watermelons. It's the same thing that they're doing now.
Right.
Yeah,
just a different form. Yeah, they're giving us images of how they want us to be portrayed and how they want us to see ourselves.
I mean, they are the reason why. And I mean, I don't know who's listening, but they might not like what I'm about to say, but that is the reason why so many of us are getting BBLs. Because we see women on TV and videos, and we don't like ourselves. We don't like our stomach. We don't like the fact that we don't have big hips. We want huge. I'm not gonna say that. We don't have huge booty. You know.
No, you can say huge ass if you want.
You know something else I know about.
Yeah, we want super duper huge asses like they are in the video. Not knowing that, you know, these people that are getting them, they're getting them, but they're getting them done the right way. They're going to places and they're getting massages. They're getting the doctors that are taking care of them. They're not just getting it done and getting sent back on an airplane back to their home to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, so, but all we see is the end result. Like, I want that. That's what I want. I'm going to save $5,000 and I'm going to get my body to look like XYZ. You know, so like,
hey, Nicole, something you said that got me going here too. Like when you said y'all had Little Kim, y'all looked up to Little Kim, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But see, now I'll be asking kids, but nobody said that I look up to my mom or my dad.
No,
it ain't like,
I won't say that.
No,
I mean, as far as, like my mom was my idol. Even growing
up. Yeah, I know,
up,
but I'm saying, like, when we, get up there, we're like, oh, I want to.
As I grew older, the men that she selected made me say, no, that's not what I want. You know what I mean? Like that's not the lifestyle that I want for myself. So now when you see on TV, you see this girl, she like, oh, Johnny bought me a BMW, and he brought me a watch that was $5,000. Like, I don't see my mom getting that. You know what I mean? So, of course, I'm going to go with what she said, because that's what I want. That's my opinion on it. Not everybody.
So what do you think about these women who got these guys who probably like got an average job, but you know he ain't making.
Yeah,
making big money, but then here come Johnny down the street with a Porsche.
But that's what I said. Did you listen to what she said? Right.
I'm just saying as a different way that she's saying it. I understand what she's saying. Yeah, you want this, you want that, but I see guys, you know, that talk about the support group I had went to down in Jersey City. And these guys was complaining about how they working their behinds off, but these girls want these guys who got this and that, like you were saying.
Right.
And I hear it in their voice. It really make them mad. And some of them say, hey, maybe I should be a drug dealer.
Right.
Now, I was trying to ask you, what you think about guys that go through that and start wanting to be like these drug dealers. That's, all of a sudden, they don't want to be nice guys no more. They want to be bad boys.
That's what I was saying. Like that is the issue with me and my husband. Like, because I'm used to, I want this pocketbook that's $2,000, and I want it now.
Damn.
Like I'm not you telling me I can't get it. You know.
Okay.
I gotta wait until, because right now things ain't whatever. I'm just being honest. I'm not used to that. You know what I mean? I had to become, and it took a long time. I've been with my husband for 10 years, and I'm probably still not used to it. You know,
so
like
stop.
I've been with him 10 years, and I still get angry inside because that is, you're talking about somebody that has had that lifestyle for over 20 years. And now you've been with somebody for 10 years, and they telling you that's not the way it works. That's not real life.
So, Shade, what should I tell these brothers who start thinking that way then?
But you tell the brothers, you got to realize that it's more than just the individuals with, you know, being drug dealers. It's a confidence level. It's a confident level that a person, a street cat has, a swag that a street cat has, that's what really kind of gets the female.
Get women, yeah.
Normally the guy that
give
works the 9 to 5 and with the school.
Give him a hand clap on that. He deserves a hand clap on that right there, because that is exactly what it is. It is the money. But it's the swag that comes along with it, because they know they have the money, so they have the swag that comes along with it. But if you have a job, you should have that same swag. You should have that swag because you should have more of a swag because, listen, I got a job and I got benefits, which is what a drug dealer doesn't have.
It kind of threw me off to hear somebody, you know, who had been working like 5-6 years and all of a sudden they said, maybe I should be a drug dealer.
Well, because if a woman is making you feel that way, then that's not the woman you should be.
It's time to leave her alone.
That's not the woman you should be with. Because guess what? You're not a woman. A woman is never gonna if she's not gonna say, baby, you know what? I'm willing to work this out with you, and I'm willing to see how this goes. Then she is not the woman for you. Because there are some women, and I ain't taking nothing from them. There are some women that they just not ready for that. And guess what?
Right.
That's
there
okay.
You go.
That's okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I am the type of female that I am 47. At the age of 30, if you would have told me that I should be with a man that worked and he's somebody with benefits and a 401K, I would have looked at you like you was crazy. Because that was where I was at 30. Now, at 47, I'm not there. You know what I mean? I'm not at that same place. You grow. You know, once you've grown to a different level in life, then you could look back and say, you know what, I've lived that life, and now I understand what people were telling me. You know, but everybody don't grow there.
Right.
Okay,
so
now, because I thought when he said, when I heard that, man,
I
just sat there like, damn, I just, with my mouth, I'm like, what the hell I'm going to say about that?
Right.
You willing to go
to pretty
some
much
shit
that's
like
your
that?
Answer.
Girl,
right, that's the answer. Right.
So what? So now, okay. So now that you heard, what are you going to tell them the next time you're in that group? What are you going to say?
Well, I'm going to sit down and ask them. Look, man, if you have to do all that to get a girl, you got a serious problem, bro. Because ain't nobody worth that. Ain't no girl worth going through that, taking a chance to go into prison, or getting yourself shot and killed, just to please some girl. That's
right.
The only reason she wants you, because you got money and swag and all that shit. Come on.
Right. Well,
like Nicole said, if he's doing the right things with his money, He can increase his swag because he's bringing something to the table now. You think a woman not going to want a man with a decent banking account, good credit, a job in his own house, and a decent whip? You think a woman's going to turn that down? No.
Turn that down for somebody that's hustling, that got to be outside every day?
Right.
No, you're not going you might love it. You might like that lifestyle. The idea of having to have that versus having somebody that's stable, you're going to go with that person that's stable. You know, once you've grown to that, you're going to want to be with somebody that's stable. Listen,
in other words, if she enjoyed the wildlife, just let it be. If that's what she wants to be.
She's not ready. If she's attracted to that, she's not ready for what you bring to the table.
I'll catch you in another 5 years, and maybe you'll be where I am in life.
Right. That's it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I speak to his brothers, like meetings I go to. We talk about that on the side. I did that when I was in college. I had 10 guys and 10 girls get together and talk about relationships. And some of them guys figured out, yo, man, I hear you. I said, you know, that's what you got to do. Like, find out what they like, they dislike, then she'll tell you what she like and she don't like. And this one girl told her, I think she was like 17, 18. She said, look, I just like to party. If you can't help me party, I ain't with you. And she just flat out told her like it is. Like,
that's
cool.
And she's entitled to that at that age.
Especially with no children or anything, she's entitled to live her life.
You know? Exactly. I was feeling them. And they was. Yeah. I like the point that they was all honest with one another. And they wasn't trying to pretend to be somebody they not.
It's a judge-free zone. That's what's wrong with us as black people. Unfortunately, we judge each other harder than anybody else. Like, we look at each other and we down each other on the littlest of the things that other people are doing, but we expect us to be, you got to be better. You got to be this. Yeah, of course, we know we got to be better. We know that other nationalities are looking at us. You think we don't know that? But you got to expect that you're going to make mistakes and you're going to live a certain lifestyle at a certain age. 17,
yeah, I know,
18,
guys, if you got Converse, they want Nikes.
Right.
If you got Nikes, they want better than that. I'm like, damn, only it's just a label.
Unfortunately, we done ran out of time. Nicole, I love to have you back. I love you have you back.
I didn't even get a chance to get into the question. Every time I'm on somebody's podcast,
It was Miles.
It was Miles. He threw me under the bus. That's my homie.
Miles get some time, man.
I hear you. Don't come out your mother's show Thursday either. Sitting there going to laugh at what he just said to me. He threw me under 3 buses and a cab.
I love Miles, but you know Miles was still the conversation, man.
Look, Miles is definitely a star. He definitely gets on, and he's a star.
Yeah.
I give it to him. He's a star.
Yeah.
But
yo,
Shadi,
that thing you
have,
the rap thing you're going with the Amazon, that thing was cool, man. What made you come up with that?
Wait. Before you do that, just I have to do you like
ahead.
I do my mother and my uncle. Your time, like you said, it's 8 o'clock, so it's Saturday, and I'm about to go. I want to thank you for inviting me on. Miles is always a pleasure. Shadi, whenever you like me to have, you are always welcome. Anytime, Shadi, to invite me, I'm here.
Okay.
You just let me know. Okay?
Okay.
All right,
so
little Kim.
It's been a pleasure having you as well. What inspired that, Mark? I got a whole 16 tracks of different stuff.
Oh, okay.
Different
that was
stuff,
cool the way you did that, man. Hear the ambulance siren, is that the cop or that? Like, that was deep. Because that's what we hear in our neighborhoods, man.
Yeah. So, and that's what inspires me, you know, the environment that, you know, we were in. I'm going
right.
to, you know, play it. So hang on the line. Once the show is over, we're going to play another one. And even, I don't know if you were on in the beginning.
I always listened to your music before and after.
That was one of them that I did called Woman. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that was one as well. So
I recognize
all three tracks are the tracks done by me. You can find them on YouTube. You have to go to Raking. It's Raking.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I'm gonna redo some of them, and I'm gonna put them on my Peep Game TV YouTube channel. I'm gonna redo them and put them on there. You know, so you'll be able to, you know, listen to the stuff and enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, because that one that was deep, man.
What can we do?
Yeah. You said it sounded like everything in the neighborhood. Yeah.
So, you know, brother. I appreciate you, Miles. You know that. I appreciate you and Nicole for, you know, taking the time out, and all the listeners who took the time out to be with us. And hopefully, you know, next week, you guys chime in, you know, and even if you're a little nervous, just press one, say hi, I'm listening. You know, I just wanted to say hi, and I appreciate you, or I don't appreciate you, or it's a topic that you want us to speak on. Just, you know, let us know, you know, because we're here for y'all. At the end of the day, we're here for the listeners.
Amen. All right?
So I want to give special thanks to my brother Jay Sean from handling the production side of the show. I would like to ask you all to tune in every Monday to Dollar Dash from 8:30 to 9:15. Tune in every Thursday to the Lisa Experience from 8 to 9 p.m. Tune in every Friday to Keeping It Real from 8 to 10. Tune in every Sunday to Point of Impact from 7 to 8 p.m. Also tune in to Grown Folks Talking. I dial in 520-525-8633. That's 520-525-8633. For those of you who would like to check out some additional footage, go to my YouTube site, Peep Game TV, and you can listen to other stuff. I pray to you, the creator of all in existence, that you touch every heart and renew every mind who hears the vibrations of my voice, so that our hearts, minds, and souls will come together and function as though we are one body. I pray that you bless each and every one of us with the spirit of unity and forgiveness, and with the ability to put aside our differences so that we can work towards the much-needed changes within ourselves, within our communities, for the sake of present and future generations. I pray with all my heart that our Creator has planted something incredible within each and every one of us that we will carry with us and share with others from this day forward. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. Anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me, and I ask your forgiveness. In closing, don't forget to reach out to someone whom you love or care about just to see how they are doing or if they are okay. With that being said, may you all be inspired and motivated to begin your journey towards a higher level of thinking and self-evaluation. Until our next encounter, have a great night. I love you all like I love myself.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Doing what they need to do. We all know somebody out there doing what they need to do, or at least believe they need to be doing it. The joker on the street thinks his life is sweet. slinging that dope cracking weed. He believes he has the remedy to succeed.
That's what he thinks.
Selling poison in his own community. And some wonder why he had no unit. It's a pity what I see on our streets.
It is.
It's a shame when you see people on the street who seems to be not much different than you.
And they really
they
not.
Selling drugs at the end.
That's what they think.
But really, they don't have a clue.
They don't.
Do you think the joker on the corner knows? They even understand?
I don't think so.
That he's confused and being used to separate and destroy his own community.
That's what he's doing.
But nevertheless, these are our brothers. We don't realize that they are altering the spirit and mind of mothers, daughters, fathers, and sons only because they themselves are caught up in the everyday scuffle of trying to make a buck, chasing that fast money. That a person has never left their community, but can get all types of drugs,
you get
any kind of gun they want. I smell something fishy.
So do I.
Let's look at our history in this country.
Let's look at
we as black people were brought and sold, stripped all knowledge about ourselves, and given a foreign language. Even to this day, many of us don't know who we are,
not
or how we should speak, or conduct
ourselves. We don't.
Now, think about the language you hear on the street.
Thinking about
how much killing is going on.
Too
young
much.
Brothers walking around with their pants sagging, terminals on their feet, fitted caps. And sneakers and jeans costing $250
a day. I know what you mean.
Now, young people may ask, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Let's examine the facts.
Okay.
The money you risk your freedom and life for, you just gave it right back.
You're right.
The only ones who really profit from the drug selling are the lawyers, bail bondsmen, cops, and government.